Is Daf Zayin. So we got to the last four lines of Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara had introduced a machlokas about this idea of Ben Besera. If the person, apostle, did a kmita, you could put it back in and redo it. There was an opinion that said you're only allowed to redo it if you did a kmita, but let's say you did the kmita and placed it in a klisharis and were makadish it, so then you lose it. Then it becomes aser once you place it into the klisharis. So Gemara wants to know on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, Maskev lo Rav Nachman, my kasavri hani tanai. What was the understanding of that tanaim, those tanaim who felt that if you do a kmita incorrectly, put it back in, but if you do a kmita and then put in a klisharis, that's already too late. What's the difference? E kmitas psulim avodi. If you say kmita of a psul is considered an avoda, and since it was done by a apostle, it renders it apostle entirely. So then, if avagav de lo avrele matan kli, even if you didn't place it in a matan kli into a kli at all, it should have been apostle when they did the actual kmita. Now, e kmitas psulim lavavodi. If you think a kmita done by a apostle is not considered an avoda, it's considered as if nothing was done at all. So then, ki avrele matan kli my hava. What difference does it make if you place it in a kli sharis at all? Meaning, when a apostle does a kmita, is that considered an avoda significant? And if it was, and then it would be apostle, or it's considered as if nothing happened and just simply put it back in? It shouldn't make a difference whether it was placed in a kli sharis or not a kli sharis afterwards. So, Hada Amr of Nachman. Rav Nachman responds back, Liolam avodahi. Really, when an apostle does a kmita, we acknowledge it as a kmita, yet it's a apostle kmita. But velo gamri avodasa ad avile matan kli, but it's not complete. It's a half action. So it's only a partial ma'isa, and that's why it's not considered possible. But once you complete the ma'isa and place it into a kli sharis, so then, since it was done by a apostle, we say the kmita is possible and you can't redo it. So then the Gemara says, ihachi, if that's the case, if we acknowledge the kmita done by a psul as a pasul kmita as an avoda, so then afil lo kadish, even if you weren't mikadish it, in klisharis, but the chimahander le lakomech leduchte, when you put the kmita back in, tikdosh v'lif, so let it be kadosh and pasul. In other words, when you have the klisharis where you take the kmita from, this is klisharis A. So the kohen, the czar, does a kmita. And if you put it into the klis, this next one, that's makadesh, that's pasul. But if the czar only did the kmita, he put it back into the initial one, into the first kli, that's fine. But the Gemara asks, wait a second, if you put it back in the initial kli, isn't that a Kabbalah? Isn't that a matan kli? And once you do a Kabbalah, that should be then kadosh. Who cares? Look at Rashi says at the top line. The kaparich, ki mahadir le lekomech leduchte, when you put the kmitza back in the initial place, the initial kli, likdosh, let it be kadosh then, vilifsol, de ha'avid matan kli. Isn't that a matan kli? Mali klisharis zeh, mali klisharis acher. Who cares if you're putting into the second klisharis or the first klisharis? That's a Kabbalah, and that should make it possible. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yochanan Zosamaris. We learn from here, klisharis ein mekachin el midas. A klisharis only has the ability to sanctify something if it was done intentionally, midas. And since when he put it back in the klisharis A, it wasn't with the intent of being mekadishit, it's not mekadishit, and therefore it's fine. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, v'habai minei Reish Lakish mei Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Reish Lakish ask Rabbi Yochanan the following question? Kli sharis mahu sheikadshu psulin lichadchila likarev. Can a kli sharis, can a pasul person put something in a kli sharis and make it kadosh likarev? Can he make it kadosh in order to be put on the mizbeach? And Amalei, the response was from Rabbi Yochanan, ein mekachin, it doesn't have the ability. So what's the question here? So we said above, the implication here is only because ein mekachin el midas. And since the czar, when he put it back to the first keli, didn't have midas, it wasn't possible. But if he had a midas, if he wanted to put it into a keli midas, it would make it possible. It would be kadosh and possible. But Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, what's the din if a possible person puts it into a klisharis? Will it be mekadishit or not? Rabbi Yochanan says, it will not be mekadishit. So if Rabbi Yochanan paskins that a possible person cannot be mekadish something in a klisharis, we said above that a possible person, can make something kadosh with a kabbalas klisharis. So the Gemara clarifies, na'amrlei ein mekachin likarev of a mekachin lipasa. A possible person, a czar, let's say, who places something into klisharis, has the ability to sanctify it only with respect to it being possible. But with respect to it being a karev, to accept as a carbon, that would not be acceptable. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means. It's not mekadesh in terms of the carbon, but it is mekadesh in terms of making it possible. That's all the first understanding of Rabbi Yochanan as to, again, when the Tzar does the Kemitza, and he puts it back in the initial Kemitza, and we say, how come that doesn't make it Kadosh? Isn't there a Matan Kli? We said, since he wasn't in Mekadesh Bedas, it's not going to Mekadesh the Kemitza when it placed back in. But comes along a different explanation is Rav Amram. Rav Amram says, Amar, Kagon Shechziro Lebisa Gedusha. What happens is when the Kohen puts the Kemitza, the Tzar puts the Kemitza back in, he returns it back to the initial place, because he was a Tzar, he places it where there's a mound of the flour. Right? The only way it works at a Kli Sharis is miskadesh something, if it's inside the Kli. But here where it's overflowing, you put it on a mound on top, it's out, it's hanging on top of the Kli, but it's not inside the walls of the Kli, it's above because the mound is overflowing. So you put it on top of that mound, so then that's permitted because that's not going to be mekadesh. But Ein Achanam, if you place it inside a Kli, Tocha Kli, then it would be mekadesh even if it wasn't Shalomidas, even if it was Shalomidas. That's the understanding of Amram. So Gemara wants to understand Rav Amram for a moment. He says, Mekametz Heichi Kametz. So if you're telling me you're returning the Kemitza to the initial Kli Sharis, and that Kli Sharis had flour that was overflowing, so how do you do an initial Kemitza? Kemitza has to be done mitocha Kli, not on a mound that's above the Kli. So how can you do the initial Kemitza in the first place if you're talking about where it's overflowing from the Kli itself? Just look at Rashi to make that clear. Rashi says, Mekametz Heichi Kametz. How do you do the initial Kemitza? Tchilas When you did the initial Kemitza, isn't it talking about where there's a mound that's overflowing from the lips of the Keli? You need to do it from inside the Kli, not above the Kli. Anything that requires a Kli, ain chashiv Kli ela tocha, only if it's inside. But if it's above the Kli, that doesn't work. So how was the initial Kemitza done? So the Gemara answers, Ela kagon shech zero lebisa tefufa. We took it outside the tebisa tefufa. Rashi explains tefufa means pishla. I don't know what that means in French. Shina kedusha. It's not where it's overflowing. Rather, it's either flat or it's inverted. Ukshe kometz mitocha kli kometz bemtsiuso. So it's where it's flat, and you did a kemitza from the center, from the middle. So the kemitza was tocha kli. However, says Rashi, kshemachzi, when you return the kemitza back to the initial place, hari kometz bigodeshes kli, you put it on the area where it's overflowing. So you have a flat kli like this. So when you do the kemitza, you do it from the center, so you scoop it inside. When you put it back, you put it off to the side somewhere where it's going to be above the kli, not back in the center. The Gemara says, again, el kagon shechzi lebisa tfufa v'chemin de kometz lai avilei guma. But once you, I answered the question, but the Gemara asks, but wait a sec, once you do the Kemitza, you made a hole, a little cavity in the center, and kimehader legave demana kimehader. When you put it back in, you're putting it back in that little hole in the center. Isn't that tocha kli? And it should be mekadesh it? So the Gemara says, no, mechimehader le, when you put it, manach le adafna demana, you place it onto the side where it's flat, not where it's the center where there's a little cavity inside. Then you shake the kli around, v'nafel, to even everything out. So the mound that you just created on the side of the kli, you have it moved to the center, now everything's flat and even. And mimela denasa kemish shechzir hakof. And when that kemita goes back in the center, making everything flat, since you didn't directly put it in, but rather you kind of shook it around, it's no different than a monkey doing it, which means it's meaningless and completely fine, not considered toch kli, and not going to be mikadesh. Okay, we're all good?
It's the hair space. That's what you need. It has to be in the hair space.
Has to be in the toch, in the center of the kli, not above the kli, not the airspace. Inside the kli, not above this kli. Above the kli is not mekadesh.
Right, I'm saying, but if you have a kli, like, and it goes in.
That's toch.
That's toch.
Right. We're talking about where you're putting above the kli, where it's in the airspace, but that's fine. It has to, as long as it's not toch, it's fine.
Airspace is above.
Yeah, airspace always means above. Like a kli charis, where you say airspace, it's metame, everything above. This is not airspace, this is tocha. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar le Rabbi Yirmiya le Rabbi Zeira. V'lokme kigon, why not say the cases as follows? Kigon shech zero le kli ha-munach ha-gabe karka. Why not simply say that you put it onto a kli on the karka? And the havamin right here is, if a keli is not being held by a kohen, it's on the ground, the havamin is that it won't be mekadesh. So just say, put the kli that holds initial flour on the floor, dump the kemitza back in, and it can't be mekadesh anything. Why couldn't that be a suggestion? And the Gemara says, because el shma mina komtin mikli shal gabekarka, the one is allowed to do kemitza from a kli that's on the ground. That kli does not have to be held by anyone. So just like when you put it on the ground, you could do kmitza from a kli that's on the karka. You could also, if you return it back, if you do a kabbalah onto a kli, into a kli that's on the ground, that's also mekadeshit, and that can't be a suggestion. Again, a kli sharis is, does not have to be held. It can be al gabe karka. Gemara says, Amar lei, kanogas bibaya dibayle di rabbi abimi. You're now being nogeir, now getting into the, infringing on the territory of Rabbi Abima. His question, Rabbi Abimi, Tani Menachos, he was once learning Menachos, Bei Rav Chista, the base measure of Chista. We're going to explain the question in just a second, but the Gemara goes on a bit of a tangent for a second. The Rabbi Ami was learning Menachos, Maseches Menachos, in the base measure of Chista, the Gemara says. Vavimi Bei Rav Chista Tani. Avimi was learning the base measure of Chista. Does that sound like Avimi was a Talmud of Rav Chista? We have the opposite. The Ha'amar Rav Chista, didn't Rav Chista say, Kolpi Tavi Bali Me'avimi Allah? So Kolfi, Rashi explains, Kolfi Tavi, Rashi says, is Hakal's Tavos, like nice little slap, like a love tap. I receive like a little pinch on the cheek, a nice pinch on the cheek, a little slap from my Rebbe, Rebbe Avimi, because a certain question I had asked. Rashi says, Bali Me'avimi, Balasi Me'avimi, I absorbed from Avimi, my Rebbe, Klomer Shayam Menado, so he would hit me in a nice, gentle way. So we see from here, Rav Chista was a Talmud of Rabbi Abimi. Or not Rabbi Abimi was learning. What do you mean he learned the base message of Chista? And the Gemara explains a little bit of the context. The context is not so significant for us, but we'll read it anyways, of course, it's in the Gemara. What was the context with which Rav Chista got slapped from Rabbi Abimi? The Hashmai said, the Sugi was telling us, Bala Hachriz Ritzufin Shloshim Yom. Let's say there's a person's property, Yosam's property, and they need to sell it off. So you want to have the most value, the highest value you could get for the land of the Yosomim. So what do? You announce for 30 days, Ritzufin Shloshim Yom, that this property is being sold. You give 30 days of an announcement to market it, and this way you get hopefully a very good price on the property. And let's say you're only doing Yom Sheni V'Chamishi. You're not doing every single day, but rather you're doing Mondays and Thursdays only, so you're not doing it as consistent. So then it has to be over the course of Shishim Yom, over the course of 60 days. So that was so this back and forth Rav Chista had a certain kasha, Rabbi Abimi gave him an answer, gave him a little pinch in the cheek. That was the context. But we see from all of this, though, Rabbi Abimi was the Rebbe, not the Talmud. So why was Rabbi Abimi learning in the base medrash of Rav Chista? It sounds like he was a Talmud in that case. So Gemara explains that Avimi Masechta Isakre Isakarle. Rabbi Abimi had forgotten the Masechta Menachos. It had been a while. He got old. His memory was going a little bit. He forgot the Masechta. V'yasa Kami Rav Chista. He went to Rav Chista, who was a Talmud, but he was a very sharp Talmud. He knew Masechta Menachos by heart, and he went to learn it by Rav Chista. Ladchuri Gamre, Ladchumre Gamre, in order to relearn Masechta Menachos. It happens. So then the Gemara says, but why not v'lishlach le v'laisi legave? If Rabbi Abimi was the Rebbe, he should have summoned Rav Chista the Talmud to come to Rabbi Abimi's base medrash and teach Rabbi Abimi in Rabbi Abimi's house or his base medrash. So he says, again, lishlach le v'laisi legave. He should have sent Rav Chista to come to Rabbi Abimi's house. So savar hachim mistaya milsetvei. This is a more siyata d'shmaya to go out to Rav Chista than to summon Rav Chista to you. Why? So Rashi quotes a famous Gemara Megillah, Mishum Yagati Matasi. If you want to figure something out, you want to learn Torah, it requires a gi, it requires a melis. So Rabbi Abimi felt if he schleps his way over to this Talmud Rav Chista, he'll be more successful in remembering Maseches Menachos. Okay, so that's the whole context. So either way, Rabbi Abimi was learning Maseches Menachos in the base measures of Rav Chista. Now during this conversation, Paga Bei Rav Nachman came about and he saw them learning in Maseches Menachos, and he said, Amar Lei, Ketad Komsen. He asked a very basic question: how do you do kmitza? So Amar Lei, Michliza, from this kli, there was a kli apparently on the ground. He pointed to a kli, the kli agabre karka. That's how you do it. So he says, Amar Lei, V'chi Komsen Michli Shagabre Karka. Are you allowed to do kmitza from a keli that's on the ground? No, I mean that kli when lifted by a kohen in the air, that's when it works. So we see that you have to lift it off the ground to do a kmitza. And then he asks, Ketan mekachin es menachos. How are you mekadesh menachos? So we know already by now, after a person does a kmitza, the kohen does a kmitza, he's supposed to place it into another kli, which is the matan kli, the kabbalah. So how is that? How does that work? Rav Nachman asked. So Amar Lei, nosin the kli zeh. You place it in the kli that's on the ground. So he asks the same question. Are you able to do a kmitza and then place it into another kli that's on the ground? He says, no, Amar Lei, demag milei kohen. When I point to that kli, I mean using that kli when lifted by a kohen, that's when it works. So they see this whole conversation here when above, when Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question and about the kli kmitza of a kli agabek karka. It has to do with this conversation between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Abim and Rav Chista when they learn Maseches Menachos. The Gemara now says, Amalei, if that's the case, that you require Kohen to lift the Kli each time, Imkein Hutrachta Gimel Kohanim, you need three Kohanim now involved in all the work. So what does that mean? Rashi explains here around seven lines up, Hutrachta Gimel Kohanim, you need three Kohanim. Shnaim Lagbia Shnei Kelim, you need two Kohanim, it can't be one Kohen who does the Kmitza, because you need another Kohen holding the Kli Sharis. And the Rashi explains further, Echad Sheyikmo Teiman, one Kohen doing the Kmitza, Echad Shenosin Letocho, and one guy who is placing it inside, Vishlishi Komets, the Kohen Echad in Yachal Agbiya Shnei Kelim, Dein Avoda Bi Smol. He can't do both. So again, he's holding one Kli, Kohen's holding one Kli to do Kmitza from. And then the other Kohen does Kmitza, then another Kohen's holding the Kli to place the Kmitza inside of. So you need three different Kohanim. Now, the Acharim asked the question, you really could use two Kohanim. Kohen 1, A, let's call him Kohen A, could hold the pile of flour, and Ezra's my Kohen, he could do Kmitza. I could then put this down, pick up another Kli, and then with my right hand, and then put it in here. Why not have the same Kohen? Just need two Kohen. Why need three Kohanim doing it? And so the Acharim explained, Merov Am Hajisbech. We like to spread the wealth, more people to get involved. You really don't need three, you need two, according to this. So where do we find anywhere that you need two Kohanim, or three Kohanim to do Kmitza? So Gemara says, Amar Lei, v'tehei tzricha yud gimel ketamid. What's the big deal? We have by the carbon tamid every single day, the Mishnah Maseches Yuma tells us, there are 13 Kohanim needed for the carbon tamid to bring all the various limbs onto the ramp in the Mizbech. So why are you so bothered by three when it comes to the Mincha? So therefore, don't be so bothered. Ein Echanami, you require three, and you do have to lift the keli off the ground to do Kmitza and to do the Kiddush Shekli from the Kmitza. Ask the Gemara now from the Mishnah later on. Esive. Zach Cloud, this is the rule. This is how Kmitza works. It says Kola Komets, Benosim Mekli, the one who does Kmitza, the one who does the placing in the Kli, Hamolich, the one who brings the Mincha to the Mizbeach, and Hamakdir, the one who puts it on the Mizbeach itself. Those are four Avodos. Lechel, Davar, Shadarchel, Lechel, V'chule. So it's talking about Halachas of Machshava and Pigel. We'll get there in a few days. But what's left out here is Vilu Magbi Lokatani. If we're telling us that you need to do Hagbah, there's another Kohen there, another two Kohanim there that need to lift the Kli, that should also be mentioned in this Mishnah as Hagbah. So Gemara says, Tani Seder Avodas Naket Lo Seder Kohanim. The Mishnah later on is concerned with Pigel, and Pigel only is effective when it comes to an Avoda. Yeah, in a Chanami, a Kohen lifts it up, but that lifting up is not called an Avoda. He's helping out. He's being Mesayeh B'davar. He's a necessary component of the Avoda. He's a Kohen that needs to be there, but what he's doing is not considered an Avoda, and that's why they didn't mention there in that Mishnah talking about Pigel. The Gemara now says the last six lines of the Amud here. Boi minei midirav sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes the following question. Mahu likmots michli sha'agabe karka. Are allowed to do kmitza from a keli that's on the ground? The question we've been dealing with up until now. So Amar Leh, the Gemara says, Pok chazi ma'avdin. You lost there?
Yeah, I don't happen to the...
Okay. Pok chazi ma'avdin legavi.
Huh? 7A3.
Okay, let's look on the Hebrew side if you want. Po chazi ma'avdi le'ave. So he says, go, look what they did inside. It's like four lines up. You see that?
Yeah.
Amar le po chazi ma'avdi le'ave. He's losing an English page. All right, it's fine. So po chazi ma'avdi le'ave. So go look what they did inside the base of Mikdash. Again, the question becomes, are you allowed to do kmitza from a keli that's on the ground? That's the shiloh. So he said, go look what they did in the base of Mikdash. What did they do in the base of Mikdash? Arba Kohanim came to the Lechem Apanim when they would take off the old Lechem Apanim along with the Lechem Apanim. They also had the Bezichim. Bezichim were little utensils, kelim, that would hold the Lavona on the side of the Lechem Apanim. They're called Bezichim. The Lavona, the frankincense, I think they call it, was inside the Bezichim. So every single Shabbos, they would transport the old Lechem Apanim, the new Lechem Apanim. So the Gemara now explains how this was done. Arba Kohanim Nichnasin, their four Kohanim entered into the base of Mikdash. Shnayim biyadam beisadarm. Two Kohanim, each one had a mound of the six loaves. Each one had six loaves, a total of 12. So Kohen A had six loaves, and Kohen B had six new fresh loaves of bread coming in, totaling 12. Now the reason why one Kohen couldn't do both of them, some say because you have to use your left hand, you can't use the left hand for avoda. Others say because they were very heavy, they explain. And one Kohen can't lift all those lechem apanim. So you have two Kohanim walking with each one has six lechem apanim piled up. And another two, and Shnayim Biyadim Shnei Bazichin. And another two are holding the Bazichin, the Levona, that's supposed to place that are in the Bazichin that are going to be placed on the Shulchan. Now, in addition to those four Kohanim, the new Kohanim coming in, they were already Arbat Makad Milfnem. They're already four Kohanim waiting there beforehand, which Shnayim Litol Shnei Sedarim, that two Kohanim, each one took six loaves off the Lechem Shochan, the old Lechem Apanim, and Shnayim another two Litol Beis Bazichin to remove the old Levona. So four Kohanim were removing the Levona and Lechem Apanim, and four were putting on fresh Lechem Apanim and fresh Levona. So that's the whole Mishnah. And the Gemara learned from this now, V'ilu Magbias HaShulchan Lokatani. So why doesn't it say to lift up the Shulchan to do the Kli Sharis? The Shulchan, of course, is on the ground. It's stationary. So the fact that you don't require lifting it up tells us that you don't have to lift it up. You're allowed to be Mekadesh something while it's on the ground. So the Gemara says, look at the Rashi, rather the top line of Rashi here. Ilu magbia lo katani sheyehe acher magbia hashulchan. We don't require someone else lifting it up. B'shas siluk ha-bezichin, when they're removing the bezichin. Alma michli shave gavikarka hayu siluk bezichin. You remove the bezichin of Lavona while we're still on the ground. U'bazichin, this is the key line in making this comparison. Rashi says, u'bazichin matirin es alechem. The removing of the bezichin is what's matir the lechem. Kikometz shemati es amincha. As the kmitza permits the shirayim to be eaten, so too the bezichin permit the lechem apanim to be eaten. Rashi explains the kometz mikre askara u'bazichin ami mikre askara. So they have that parallel that we have, just like we have a parallel of the four avodos of the zvachim of dam. We have a parallel for menachos, four avodos of menachos, and we have that also. I'm not sure about all four of them necessarily, but at least the removing the siluk bezichin is equal to the kmitza as well. There's a fascinating Rabbi Ari Le Malin. Those who want to learn Kudshim well, Rabbi Ari Le Malin has a beautiful sefer, two chalakim, much of it's on Kudshim. He starts from brachos and has a little bit on each masechta, but a core of his sefer is on Kudshim. So he has a beautiful piece here where he talks about the nature of lechem apanim. He says, wait a second, what kind of kiddush is taking place here of the kmitza and the silik bezichin and the placing the bezichin back on? He says, the lach is that the bezichin already, rather the lavona, is already kadosh when you place it in the bezichin initially. And he says, the lechem panim already kadosh when it was baked in the oven. What type of additional kiddush is taking place here on the shulchan? So he explains, when it comes to lechem apanim and the bezichin, there are really two dinim that are going on here. There's one din of lechem apanim, but there's another din of being a mincha. So when they first made the lavona and the bezichin, that was mekadosh lavona because of the din of a lavona. And when they baked the lechem apanim, it was kadosh in the tanur. But now when you put everything onto the shulchan, it takes on the status of a mincha, and now the bezichin is the kmitza, and the putting the new bezichin on is the matan kli, and he goes through a whole very nice mahalach of how the lechem panim has two dinim of being a shem lechem panim and also a shem mincha. But what we see from this, for our purposes of the Gemara though, is that we see you don't have to lift up the shulchan, you don't have to lift up the kli sharis, it's enough to be on the ground. So just like it's enough to be on the ground for the lechem apanim, so too for the mincha in general, you don't have to lift up the kli. You could do a kmitza from a kli sh'agabe karka. Gemara says, lav amris, did we not already say hasam seda avodas naken? Just like the Mishnah didn't list the magbia because we weren't concerned with the every kohen, we were concerned with the things that were considered avodas. Hachanami seda avodas naken. The shulchan and lechem apanim were only describing what was necessary avodas. The magbia may have been necessary, but that's not considered an avoda. That's why we didn't acknowledge it. But in hachanami, there may have been a hagbah of the shulchan when they did all this. So Gemara says, "Na mi dami? Can you compare the discussion of the Shulchan to the discussion of the Zeh Klal by Menachos? Hasam lo naches leminyana the Kohanim. When we described all the avodas of the Mincha, the Misha wasn't in the wasn't in the business of counting how many Kohanim. They're describing avodas." But hereby, the Shulchan is telling us how many Kohanim were there. There were four coming in, four coming out. So we are concerned with the number of Kohanim. So Hacha, Nachas, the Minyanet Kohanim, and Nemisa, listening to Magbiyah, they should include the ninth Kohen who is lifting up the Shulchan. Allah, the fact that they didn't count it, Shema Amina, you don't have to lift up the Shulchan, you don't have to lift up the Keli, and Komtsin, Michli, Shal Gabekarka, Shema Amina, is completely permitted. Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Pshitali, it makes sense to me, it's obvious to me, that Komsin Michli Shal Gabekarka, you're allowed to do a Kmitza from a Kli that's on the ground. How do we know? Shekein Matinu Besiluk Bazichin, when you remove the Bazichin, which is considered a Kmitza, it was done from a Shulchan that was on the Karka, so too in general by a Kmitza. Further, he writes, U'mekadshin Mincha Bekli Shal Gabekarka, you're able to Mekadish Mincha of into a klisharis that's on the ground. And Rashi points out we're talking about not the kmitza into a klisharis, we're talking about, Rashi says, when you bring the flour from your house and put it into the initial klisharis, that initial placement of flour in the klisharis, that also can be while it's agabe karka. How do you know? Shekein matzino besidah bezichin. When you place the bezichin on initially, that's comparable to bring flour from your home. It's on a shulchan, on the bezichin that are on shal agabe karka. So then he asks, by Rava, the question that becomes now, so we know that bringing flour from your house into the klisharis can be when the klisharis is agabe karka. Doing kmitza works when the kli is agabe karka. What's left out is, when you do the kmitza and place it into the second klisharis, is that klisharis allowed to be in the karka, or does that have to be held by a kohen? That's the suffix Rava has now. So by Rava says, kiddush komet, the kiddush in the second kli of the kmitza, my, what's the lacha? Mi mincha yafinolei, do we learn this from mincha? And mincha, we said, can be al gabe karka, o dilma mi dam yafinolei, do we learn it from dam, and the dam has to be held by a kohen? Kabbal's da must be held in the air, may not be done on the karka. So which one are we learning kiddush komitz from? From mincha or from dam? And Hadar Pashto, Rava, after raising the question, he answered the question, midam yafinola. We learn from dam, actually. And we learn that you require kabbal's kli while the kohen's holding it. It cannot be agave karka.
So the only reason why the blood is that it shouldn't congeal. That's why.
No, that's not why. The din the Torah, the pasuk says, "Look at Rashi. Rashi said, 'Midam mekabals dam dichsev krivu bnei Aaron.' Based on the pasuk, it says, and that's a din of Aaron has to be holding the kabals kli. It can't be on the gabay karka. So then the Gemara says, 'Ami amar Rava hachi.' Does Rava really say that we learn mincha from dam? The ha itmar, a different statement was said that komet shechalka b'shnei kelim. Let's say you take a kmitza, but instead of placing it in one keli, you split the kmitza half in this keli, half in that keli. Is that going to be a kiddush of the kmitza? Rav Nachman Amar, eino kaddush. It doesn't work. It has to be all in one klisharis, just like dam has to be in one klisharis. Rava Amar kiddush. Rava says, yes, it does work. Now, if Rava says we really learn from dam, im isa leilif midam, that you should learn from dam, that dam only works if you placed it in one klisharis. You can't split it up. So the fact that Rava says a kmitza can be split up and it's kadosh tells us he doesn't learn from dam at all. So Hadar Bei Rava retracted Me'ahi, and he ended up saying that we do taka learn from dam, and just like we say that kiddush bekli, kiddush komets needs to be in a kli held by a kohen, like dam, so too he would hold, if a kiddush komets was split up, it wouldn't work either, just like dam wouldn't work if it was split up. So Gemara now wants to know, v'dam minolan delo kaddish l'chatzon. How do you know, and what's the source, that when you do a kiddush of dam, you can't split it up in different kelim? Titani Rav Tachlifa ben Shol, he taught as follows. Kiddush pachos michdei hazah b'chlizeh, u'pachos michdei hazah b'chlizeh, lo kiddush. So this is talking about the hazah of the paraduma. You take the necessary water and you split it up half and half, it doesn't work. So after establishing that halacha by paraduma, you can't split it up. If there's less than a shear in each kli, it doesn't work. Ibaylei bedam mai. What about dam? If you take the necessary dam needed and you split up pachz mikashir and prizem, pachz mikashir and prizem, mai, what's halacha? Do we say hilchasahi? The hilchasali alfinam. It's a halacha on the Moshe Mitzrayim that paraduma may not be split up. And you can't learn any halachas from halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So since we don't have such a mesor by dam, so maybe dam you can't split it up. Oh, Dilma Hasa, my time, and maybe by Paraduma, it's not based on Halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's not based on Hilchasa, maybe there's a Pasuk, Dichsev V'taval B'maim, has to be B'maim, all the water together, so if that's the case, we have a similar Pasuk by Dam, Hachanam Yaksev V'taval B'dam, you have to pull it from Dam, where all the blood's there together. So what's the Halacha by Dam? Can you split the Dam up into two Kalim or not? The Vitmar was said, Amar Rabbi Zreka, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ah, B'dam Lo Kiddush. It doesn't work if you split it up. So this is the basis, that for the base of the word badam, that you cannot split up the dam into klisharis, and so to Rava says the same holds true by a mincha. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Tani Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same thing, V'taval V'lo Maspig. You have to do a dipping and not a maspig. Maspig usually means like cleaning with a sponge of some sort. Rashi explains it differently, slightly differently. Rashi says, V'taval badam V'lo Mesapig Mekanech Etzba B'dofne Akli. Not scraping up whatever stuck to the blood. You need like a lot of liquid of dam to scoop from the dam as opposed to scraping off the walls. So that's what we learn for the word V'taval V'lo Maspig. Further, it says in the Braisa, quoting the pasuk, "Bedam sheyeh bedam sheyeh tefila meikaro." That has to be enough shear in the kli sharis initially. So this is that same consistent point that you need to accept in the kli a shear of dam. And min hadam means min hadam shebeinyan. Unclear what that means. Rashi says we'll find out soon what that last drasha is. So now the Gemara says itzrech lemichtav v'taval itzrech lemichtav bedam. You need to teach both of these terms in the pasuk. Because the Rachman of a tava, the politics of a tava to do a tevila to dip your finger in, havamina. I would think alpha gavdilo kibol shir tevilos. Even if I didn't make kar, even though I didn't pull up a proper, even though I didn't do a kabbalah of the shir necessary, it works as long as I do a tevila. We don't care so much about the kabbalah. Because the Rachman of badam, you have to pull out a tevila from a dam, from a significant shir of dam, tells us that you need a kabbalah of dam initially. V'kasev Rachman Badam. If we only had the word Badam, havamina afilu maspig, I would think maybe how you get the dam is fine. You can even scrape it off the walls. Therefore, kasev Rachman v'taval min adam. You have to dip it in to the blood itself. You can't scrape it off the walls. So then the Gemara wants to know, what do you learn from the word min hadam shebe'inin lemutei mai? What was that drasha the pasuk was referring to? Amarava lemutei shiraim shebe'etzpa. You can't use the leftover of the blood. I mean, if you picked up the coin, scooped up some blood and sprinkled once, there's always going to be some blood left over. You can't use the leftover blood on your finger. You have to re-dip it in afterwards. Each time separately, you can't use the shiraim. Fine. So Gemara now says, Misayle, this idea of not using the shiraim supports the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Amar shiraim should be etzba psul, and the leftover blood that still remains on the finger after doing a hazah is not good enough. You have to re-dip it into the blood. Between each sprinkling, you need to do another dip. So Amalei Rabin by Rav Adel Rava, Amri Tamidcha, the Talmidim said, Amrav Amram Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Hayamazev Nitsa Hazam Miyado. If you're busy sprinkling the blood, the coin sprinkling the blood, and it gets sprinkles onto the beged, we know you have to wash the beged then. If it gets on the big dekuna, if the blood gets on the big dekuna, you have to wash it. Imad Shelo Haza Tan Kibas. If before you did actual sprinkling, it got onto your clothing, you require washing your big dekuna. Mishahiza, if you already did sprinkle it, Ein Taon Kibas. You don't require Kibas. So my lav was, this does not mean Ad Shelo Gamar Hazaso, that if you haven't finished the Hazaso, but Umishigamar Hazaso, when you finish it, Shema Mina Dishraim Shibetzba Kishayr. So, how do you read that line again? Look at Rashi. Rashi says here, look at three lines up in Rashi, three narrow lines up. Achlo haza, dakati chaza hudam shenafal al beged lazas panim. The blood that's on your beged, if you didn't do a sprinkling yet, it's still, you can in theory extract it and remove it from your clothing and do a sprinkling. So the next Rashi says, my lav achlo gamar, kohazaos katani, is it not talking about where you've not yet finished all the seven sprinklings? The taon kibus, and that's when you require klibus. Vafilu lo nafal al mishiraya etzba. Even though you did one sprinkling, if after the first one some of the blood comes off the finger onto your kli, al makshein laza, you require kibus. So that's how you read the braisa. Read this inside one more time here. Rashi says again, rather Gemara says last three narrow lines. My lav ad shelo gamar hazaso does not mean if you didn't finish all seven. And we should gamara hazaso, and when you finish all seven, but if it's in between somehow, and you have some leftover in your finger, and it gets onto your clothing, inechanami, it would require kibus, because that shiraim is considered roi for hazah. You don't have to re-dip it each time. Shmamina, again, the shiraim, sheba etzba kesher. And where it says, lo, that's not how to read the braisa. The braisa is meant to be read as, achlo yatsa miyado. Hazah ton kibas. You dipped your finger in. If you didn't do one hazah, it's still in your finger from dipping it in, and it falls onto your baged, that's when it requires kibas. But mishayatza miyada, when you do hazah miyada, when you do one sprinkling, already at that point after one sprinkling, and then from the finger, nitzza mimash nishar, and some of the blood left over on your finger got into your clothing, then ein ton kibas. You don't need to wash out the big dekuna, because the shiraim on the etzba after each hazah is considered pasul. Eisive, the Gemara asks Eisive Abai. Abai asks the question as follows. Gamar milahazos, let's say you finish doing the sprinkling. Mekanech yada begufa shapara, your hands all bloody now, you can wipe it onto the hair of the para duma. Gamar in, only after you've completed all the sprinklings. But lo gamar lo, if you didn't complete it, you shouldn't wash your hands, wipe your hands, because that's still roi for hazah, meaning you could use the shiraim on your fingers as part of the sprinklings. Gemara says, Amar lei lo, gamar mekanech yado, lo gamar mekanech etzbal. When you complete everything, that's when you wash your entire hand, you rub it onto the paraduma. But if you haven't completed it yet, so then you wash each finger individually because you have to, the shiraim are pasul. So Rashi explains here, if you look at... I think the way it works is you use the same finger, you do it once, and you wipe it off. And then you do it again, you wipe it off. And you do it again, and after all them, then your hand gets bloody, that's just what happens, and then you wash your whole hand off onto the paraduma. But we see from here the need to wash fingers in between each one, because the shiraim are pasul. So Gemara says, Bishma, I understand Gamar Mekanach Yada Bagufa Shapara. When you complete the entire sprinkling, your hands all bloody, you just wipe your whole hand onto the cow itself. Dichsev, the Sarfas Apara, Le'enav, you burn in front of you. You prove it from that point here. Rashi explains here, Bishlima Gamar Mekanach Kayada Bagufa Shapara, that you wipe your hand on the cow itself. Sharei par lefanav, the par is in front of you. Nisrefes la'achas yored minahar. So I guess it, since it's right there, it's very convenient, it seems. You just wipe your hand on the paraduma. Ella lo gamar mekanech etzbo b'may mekanech. But if you haven't finished yet, you're in between hazos, with what are you wiping your hands on? I guess it's assuming that at that point the goof of the par is not available. Rashi says b'may mekanech v'chi bein kol hazav hazav yored mehar amishka lekanech b'guf hapara. Right, he's on a different part. So the paraduma is at one place, he's at a different place where he's doing the sprinklings. He's in the base of Mikdash. He's going back and forth, I guess. He can't go back and forth in between each hazah. So how is he cleaning his fingers in between each hazah? So the Gemara says, we'll skip the parentheses, Amar Abaye, Bisfas Mizrak, and the lip of the kli he's using, he just wipes it on the edge of the kli, Dichsev Kapore Zahav, it's referring to Kapore, I guess, in that it catches all the different, Rashi explains here, Bisfas Mizrak, Hainu Dekari Le Mizrak, and that's why we call the Mizrak, and the Kalim used to throw the blood, Kapure Kipure Zahav. We say for Ezra, Al-Shem Shem Mekanech Yada Bo, it cleans, it cleanses, it physically cleans your blood in between each one. He rubs his finger on the kli to make it clean, puts it back in, rubs it, sprinkles, cleans it, puts it back in, sprinkles, cleans it. And when it's finished, he wipes his hand on the paraduma. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.